let's get into some of these draft picks. Henry Ruggs, the speed demon from Alabama, and Damon Arnett, Ohio State cornerback. And thought it was interesting. Actually, Urban Meyer came on our airwaves, coach, and he said he felt Arnett was as good and talented as any corner out of Michigan State. And there's been a lot of them drafted out of Ohio State since 2000.
Yeah, I heard a lot of the media buzz that how far we reached for him and all the, you know, there are people that have to do their jobs and make in the media. Heck, I was one of them, right? So I understand that. But at the end of the day, we did an awful lot of work on Damon Arnett. I'm talking about on the field, off the field, everywhere. I had a school visit there. We had four cross checkers there. Their defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, is now the head coach at Boston College, where I played. I know Haf for probably 18 years. I know a bunch of guys on their staff. That's a long way of saying that we didn't think we reached. And if we could have moved down comfortably 5, 6, 7 spots, we might have. But we weren't going down much beyond that. And we really felt like he was probably going to go somewhere between 25 and 40, and he was our guy.
Let me say this about Damon. Two things I'd say about him. Number one, it was the 4.56 40 at the combine, which got these guys heading south on him, not north. But when you watched him play, Mike, and you're the film study expert, he didn't play like he was running that way. He plays a lot faster than that, and he's very feisty. Like, that guy wants to rumble with you. And I know that had to be appealing to you guys, his style of play.
And I'll tell you another thing. And while you're on the speed thing, the 4.56 is whatever it is. The slowest time we had on him from our scouts were 4.43 at the combine, mm-hmm. And he plays that way to us. That didn't surprise me at all. When you want to talk about tough and feisty and competitive, and Pat, that's what John and I have been preaching, you know, for the last 2 years since I've been there. Anyway, is, you know, we're looking for competitive kids. And when you put the tape on, I defy you to find a more competitive corner anywhere in the country. He played left. He played right. He played in the slot. He played a lot of the season with a cast on his arm that he broke and continued to play through. So when you talk about competitive, feisty people that don't mind lining up against your number one guy, and by the way, you're in a division with Kansas City, the Chargers, and Denver, all of whom are loading up on offense, we wanted a guy that wouldn't flinch, and we believe that's the guy.
Yeah, I believe it too. Now, I know a voice from above whispered, Henry Ruggs, fast. I'm just saying.
Is there a question here, Pat?
No, it's a statement. We all felt like this was, and John to me, and you've referenced John a number of times already, John, to me, has always had that Raider thing about it, and which is all about Al. And then when you take the fastest receiver in the draft, I think what would Al do might have been the question in the room, because we know that Al would have loved Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And, you know, Al's son, Mark, loved him. So the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And here's where I was. I mean, 100%. Full disclosure, I loved all three of those, quote, top three wideouts, and they were very distinct and different type wide receivers. And I feel very strongly in John Gruden and our coaching staff would have gotten the best out of any of them. I was very surprised that when we got on the clock at 12, all three were available. You know, we kind of sweated out whether or not Ruggs was going to get there. But at the end of the day, John felt strongly, and I agreed with him, that we needed a different element, especially in our division. You know, when you're playing Kansas City twice a year and you saw what Denver did and what the Chargers did, when you're in our division, speed rules. And the whole league is chasing the Kansas City Chiefs right now. And we just felt like getting the guy that runs 4.25 changes us. And the less obvious part of that, Pat, is, you know, Darren Waller had 90 catches last year and Josh Jacobs ran for 1,300 yards as a rookie. And they did it without any real vertical help or stretch from the wide receiver position. And this year, we feel like it's going to be a different conversation. And Ruggs is going to have his own production. You can talk about vertical routes, deep overs. You can talk about manufactured touches with jet sweeps and bubble screens. He'll have his own production, but his worth to the offense goes beyond that because it's going to open things up for Waller. It's going to open things up for Tyrell Williams, for Byron Edwards, for Lynn Bowden, and especially, we think, for Josh Jacobs.
I agree with you, Mike. The last thing on him, I'll give it right back to Jim. When you watched him, and I'm sure you watched every throw to him for multiple years, did he ever drop a ball in front of you? I didn't watch. I watched about four or five games. I don't recall watching him drop a ball. Did you ever see him drop one? Because I didn't.
He has very, very, very few drops at Alabama going back to the beginning of his career there. I had a school visit there also, and my initial perception going in to study him was that, you know, okay, he's a vertical guy, and look at Judy. Judy runs great routes, and this guy doesn't run the same kind of routes. And can he catch the ball outside the framework of his body? And the more you watch him, the more you go, wow, he's got really good hands. And then the more you watch him, you go, he can get in and out of breaks. He can run routes. He just isn't as good at route running yet as Jerry Judy. And, you know, at the end of the day, you just kind of look at him and you go, okay. When Nick Saban looks in the eye and says, Mike, he works harder than anybody on our team, and he comes to practice every single day like he's a walk-on, every day. That's my kind of guy. I told that to Gruden, and John almost fell over, you know, because John loved him already. So we just feel like with Ruggs, again, competitive, tough. He's returned kicks. He's been a gunner on their punt team. He's done a bunch of different dirty jobs that shows us he's a tough guy.
Well, Mike, you did attack the receiver position, and you were honest. You said it before the draft. There was nothing to say that you weren't going to address the receiver position. You do it again in the third round with Lynn Bowden. He's the Paul Hornung Award winner, Mr. Versatility in the country. And then Brian Edwards, just a four-year starter, really solid player out of South Carolina. Talk about those two players that you added.
Yeah, Edwards, we had a second-round grade on, and we just thought the value was too good at 80. Or 81, I believe. So we love the kid. Big body, strong, started over 40 games in the SEC, the number one receiver in the history of South Carolina, who's turned out some pretty good wideouts. We loved his physicality. You put the Alabama tape on and watch him run jet sweep against their front and knock the crap out of people, and you're just going to go, okay, that's a Raider. We love him. So we feel like he'll add an element where if we want to run cracked toss with Josh Jacobs into the sideline, he'll knock down the defensive end, he'll knock down the linebacker. He ought to have a lot of production in the catch game, and we're excited about him. You mentioned Bowden, Lynn Bowden from Kentucky, and for us, he's going to be a running back. And, you know, he caught close to 70 passes at the SEC 2 years ago. Their quarterback went down early this past season, and he played quarterback at Kentucky and had close to, I think it was 1,400 yards rushing. So he's versatile, he's tough, he's quick. Again, he's competitive, feisty. He's going to learn how to play running back, and I think he's instinctive enough to do it with the ball in his hands. His biggest challenge will be pass protection.
Okay, we're up to one of my favorites. Jim and I did a thing for the 2 days prior to the start of the draft, just long shots, dark horses, guys we know and talked about, especially us, and we got a chance to pick five guys each. One of my five was Tanner Muse. I'm telling you, I was obviously you're watching everybody at Clemson because there's so many of them, but I kept watching him and I wanted to ask you as a question. My eyes just kept drifting back to him, whether it was blitzing or coming off the hash mark or showing up in the box. I just felt like, why are we not talking about this guy? So I put him on my list of five, and I was very pleased. Not only you took him in the third round. A little something from you about what you saw in Tanner.
You know, everybody talked about Isaiah Simmons, and justifiably, he was all over the field. But in Brent Venable's defense, every week it's like an NFL structure in that they were a matchup defense, and they had matchup pieces. And Isaiah Simmons was the first, but how many times do you see two 230-pound safeties in college football? And Simmons would play safety at time, and Tanner Muse was playing safety at 230 pounds. He stuck his foot in the ground. He came off the edge against Texas A&M on a safety blitz, and they threw a screen pass to the same side over his head. He stuck his foot in the ground, turned, and chased his son of a gun down 30 yards down the field. Not only did I see an ability to run, but just the inherent hustle. He didn't even, obviously, to make that play, you don't even think about it. It's instinct. You stick your foot in the ground, you turn, and you go. And that got me. That was early in the year at Texas A&M. So as I'm studying all these guys at Clemson, I just kept going back to 19 saying he loves it. This kid loves football, and nobody talks about him. So we did a Zoom with him, and he was going to play safety for 4 years, and we questioned him for close to an hour on linebacker fits in the run game, and he knocked it out of the park. He knew everything about it. He was humble. He was intelligent. He'll come in and be one of our best special teams players day one, and over the next year or two, he'll learn both Will and Mike. And we feel like he's got a high ceiling. He's a 230-pound guy. Runs 4.39 and loves football. So, Pat, I hope your eye is and my eye are aligned correctly there.
Yep.
Well, you tap Clemson again, Big John Simpson. This guy was a wrestling champ in high school, and boy, he shed some weight. He got down to 320 is where he's at right now, and we liked him at the Senior Bowl. Big John Simpson, the guard out of Clemson.
Yeah, he kind of fits our eye. 325 pounds, 34-inch arms, athletic. You guys mentioned the high school wrestler, which I loved. I teased him about it. I'm like, dude, you were this champion wrestler, yet you're off balance more than you should be. You know, you're dropping your hat every time you hit. You know, and so we got into the technical stuff. The kid was intelligent. He was receptive to conversation and criticism. He fits our height, weight, speed profile. Our scouts like him. Our coaches like him. And we traded up in the fourth round to go from, I think it was 121, maybe to 109 to make sure we got him.
Last one was Robertson, La Tech. You know, La Tech had a couple. You got the best of the group, but there was a couple of guys at La Tech, and they got drafted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, La Tech, we're not. It's not Ohio State, folks. It ain't Alabama, but they had NFL players down there, and you got one.
Well, the pick before us, Kansas City, took L'Jarius Sneed, their corner, who flies, and we took Amik Robertson. And, you know, I was on the phone with the defense coordinator that morning, Bobby Diaco, because I didn't think Robertson was going to be sitting there at 139, but I wanted to make sure I did my homework. And I'd known Diaco for years, and, you know, I just said, Bobby, I love him. He's 5'9", and tell me what's wrong with this guy aside from the height. He's smart. He's tough. He loves ball. He's pissed off because he's 5'9", and everybody thinks that, you know, he's got an attitude. And, you know, so, again, I look at that profile, and I love it because the kid's got an attitude. He's got an edge. He had 14 interceptions. He's always around the ball. He competes. If he gets beat because he's 5'9", then that's my fault. That's not his fault. At the end of the day, he's competitive. He's tough. And you know, we didn't go into day four expecting him to be there. Excuse me, day three expecting him to be there in the fourth round. I was looking to trade down at a 139, but he kept staying there, and he was still there. And we had a few teams call us about a move down, and I just said to John, if Amik is still here at 139, we're good. If not, we'll move down. And I'll be darned if he wasn't. So we were excited about the competitiveness and the toughness of the entire group.
Well, Mike, we can't thank you enough for your time today.
Awesome.
We appreciate it. Got some great players there for the Las Vegas Raiders. We appreciate your time.
Always appreciate it, fellas. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.